Good morning, everyone. We're continuing in our learning of Pesukei Zimra. We're up to the second haluka of haluka kito of Zabra Elokeinu. The source of this kapitel being mentioned in Pesukei Zimra is, as we mentioned in the first haluka, and in Ashrei, based off the Rif's understanding of what is defined as Pesukei Zimra, based off the Gemara and Shabbos. And this is defined as Ashrei in the last five prakim of Tehillim. And this is the second of those halalukas in that section of Tehillim. The parak is structured with seven different sections. The first section is the first pasuk. It's an introduction acknowledging the value of praising Hashem. Transitioning to that point is the next three psukim, the second section, which is a declaration that Hashem protects the Jews in the Galus, and Hashem will rebuild Yerushalayim and bring back the Galus. After this discussion, the third section is David HaMelech's expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness that he's done to Klal Yisrael in the Galus, and the call is then upon the nation and the world to praise Hashem, and that will be the discussion of the next section, of the next few sections going forward. The fourth section, from Pasuk Ches to Pasuk Yud Aleph, is almost a diversion, an observation of the world, the natural world's survival through Hashgachas Hashem, and then focusing on man's need to realize Yiras Hashem and focus on what Hashem wants of him. After that, the parak then shifts its focus in the fifth section from Pasuk Yud Beis to Yud Aleph to focus on Yerushalayim and recognizing how Hashem oversees it. The sixth section then reverts back to the discussion of nature, focusing on the weather patterns and how Hashem controls water in different stages of its phases. And in the seventh section, finally, we revert back to the final praise, recognizing that Hashem gave Bnei Yisrael specific laws, unlike any other nation, and that is something to be praiseworthy. So focusing on, going into detail, the first section of this parak is an introduction acknowledging the value of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mefarshim explained that this parak is a follow-up of the last pasuk of the previous parak, where we mention Yimoch Hashem Elolam Elokayach Tzion Nodavadar Haluka. Hashem will acknowledge Hashem's Malchus in the world forever. And as mentioned earlier, the Mefarshim has different understandings. Some understand this as a Radak, to see this as like a futuristic praise. Hopefully the world will soon recognize Hashem's Malchus in the Gula. But other Mefarshim, like the Malbim and Rav Hirsch, understand it to be in the present. We are now recognizing that status of Malchus Hashem in different permutations through Hashgachas Hashem or through our duty to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. And those discussions really follow through in how they interpret this parak as well. And you'll see the Radak, his theme is going to be focusing on the Geula and the praise of that experience. And the Malbim, and that's a following of his interpretation of Yimloch Hashem L'olam. In the future, Hashem will express his Malchus, and this is the praise of the future, of that future Malchus. And the Malbim, however, because he understands Yimloch Hashem L'olam as a reflection of recognizing Hashem's Hashgach in the world, both through nature and through the supernatural, he's going to develop in his interpretation of this parak those two themes throughout the parak, and as praises both of Hashem's guidance through nature and through the supernatural. Rav Hirsch is going to interpret this parak following his understanding of Yimloch Hashem L'olam, which he understands the emphasis was L'kayach Tzion, that Hashem, your God, is going to guide each individual to follow the Ratzon Hashem. And Rav Hirsch explains that this parak, the focus is going to be not on the individual, but on Klal Yisrael in general through the Galus, that Hashem is guiding and maintaining Klal Yisrael to exist in order to facilitate both the Bnei Yisrael's development through fulfilling the Torah and through them being educators to become a beacon of light and source of revelation to the rest of the world how to act. So with that in mind, we begin our understanding of each pasuk of this parak. So going on the first section again is an introduction to the value and to the parak, acknowledging the value of praising Hashem. David Malach writes, Haluka, praise, they shall praise Hashem, ki tov zamra elokinu, for it's good to sing to our God, ki na'im the basila, for it's pleasant to beautify with praise. There seems to be a redundancy going on. The Malbim, the Radak, interprets this more as one unified sentence, in the sense that in the future, when Klal Yisrael will be experiencing Malchus Hashem, and the world will be experiencing Malchus Hashem, then your praise will be appropriate and beautiful because you'll have this expression of this revelation of Hashem. Now, the praise will correlate to that expression. The Malbim understands, however, that these two clauses of Ki Tov Zamra and Ki Na'im are actually referring to two different expressions of praise based off the Hashgachas Hashem, based off his theme, as he mentioned earlier. And he explains that following on Yimoch Hashem Lalam, Lekayach Tzilin Dover Dar HaLuka, because we're going to recognize Malchus Hashem both through the natural and supernatural way, we're going to now, in this parak, express praise of those two different types. So he says the first section is Ki Tov Zamra Elokeinu. Elokeinu, the word Elokeinu is reminiscent of the power of Nes, that Hashem is a supernatural effect on the world. And it's Tov because the word Tov represents something that is essentially good, and having that direct recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu beyond the natural world is a more direct recognition of Hashem as our appreciation of Hashem. And Zemer is a greater form of praise than the next clause, which is Tehillah. So the first section, the first clause, we're mentioning Hashem's recognition of his supernatural interactions with the world, and that's a unique experience that we're praising Hashem for. But as well, Kinim the Vasila, it's also appropriate to praise Hashem in general for his ability to just guide the natural world, and that itself is a source of praise. Not as great as Zemer, but it's still appropriate as a form of Tehillah, as a form of praise. Rav Hirsch, however, understands it similar to the Radak in the sense that there's one sense of praise that's developing. However, he sees it as a progression. He says, Ki Tov Zabra Elokeinu. He says, not only is it appropriate to praise Hashem because that is a good thing to do, it's also Na'im. It's a delight when, specifically, Navasila, when the praise befits and is appropriately and correlates properly to a recognition of Hashem's manifestation in the world through his great acts. And specifically, the word Elokeinu correlates to the fact that Hashem is interacting with us and helping us develop and reach our goal and our mission in this world, both as an individual, but most importantly, as a nation, as Klal Yisrael. And that's going to be the theme that's going to be developed throughout the rest of the parak. The second section then moves on to discuss a declaration of praise. Hashem protects Klal Yisrael and will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and bring Klal Yisrael back home. And the pasuk says, "Bodei Yerushalayim Hashem." Hashem is the builder of Yerushalayim. Nidchei Yisrael Chaneis, and He will gather in Klal Yisrael with Kibbutz Galios. The Radak understands this comment, again, following in his previous explanation, that this is all an expression of the Geula, and because we have Malchus Hashem, we're now able to, Hashem will now bring the Beis HaMikdash and also bring in Kibbutz Galios. The Malbim, following his understanding that's all about Hashgachas Hashem, explains that this is a direct praise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be directly be involved in building the Beis HaMikdash and also bringing Kibbutz Galios from different corners of the world back to Eretz Yisrael, an expression of that Hashgacha. Rav Hirsch understands that we're not referring to the future time of the Geula, but we're placing a hope now in the time of the Galus. We're saying Hashem in the future will build the Beis HaMikdash, will bring in the Galus. And Hashem is guiding us throughout history as a nation to get to this point, again, following in his introduction, that this is the praise that we're saying, that Hashem is guiding us as Elokeinu, our God guiding the nation throughout history to develop to a certain point. The next pasuk in this section says, "Harfelish for Levi heals the brokenhearted, u'mechabesh latzusam and binds their sorrows, gives them bandages to heal them." The Radak again understands this, following his interpretation, that this is another praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He is going to take the Bnei Yisrael who are downtrodden in the Galus outside out of their misery and into the Geula. Rav Hirsch, however, understands this also as a expression of hope that Hashem will heal the people who are the nation who is in injured because of the Galus. And he mentions that this is a parallel line to the previous parak, where we're talking about the individual, that Hashem is protecting that individual through Hashgachas Hashem. So Hashem too is going to help the community of Klal Yisrael through the Galus to get them out of that state. The next passing in the section concluding the section about Hashem is bringing involvement in the Galus, it says, "Modem mispar lakochavim l'cholam shemos yikra." Hashem counts the stars and He gives all of them names. The Malbim understands this pasuk as a contrast to other powers in their ability to help and get involved in man's life. He says, while HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who has direct hashgacha and involvement in Klai Yisrael's ability to get out of the Golos and go enter the Geula, relying on the heavenly spheres, the celestial bodies, is not going to work because, number one, they're limited in number. They don't have the same capacity to control Hashem and to control nature. The Chulam Shema Sirkon, Hashem gave them all specific roles. They don't have the ability as all-consuming and all-encompassing as a Kodesh Baruch Hu. However, referring ostensibly to the Ibn Ezra's comments, he understands that these stars are referring to the Klai Yisrael and Golos. And Rifersh explains that while in Golos, Hashem does not only save the great people of the Klai Yisrael, every single person, even the distant star, even people who are distant stars, Dinchei Yisrael, Hashem looks after each and every one of them, and every member of the Golos, of the Bnei Yisrael and Golos, are being accounted for and included in the Cheshbon of redeeming them, ultimately. After discussing Hashem's involvement in Klal Yisrael in the Golos, David HaMelech then shifts to recognizing the great chesed Hashem does to the people in the Golos, and then there's a call for that praise to be expressed. David HaMelech writes, Gadol Avdenenev Rav Koch Usunoso Emispar. Great is our master in abundance and strength, and his understanding is infinite. Both the Radak and the Mabim understands this pasuk and the general shak section as an expression again of Haskachas Hashem, his involvement in Klai Yisrael to protect the Nidchei Yisrael. And he writes, and the Radak explains that this pasuk is to contrast the abilities of human rulers. Human rulers, they struggle to manage vast territory. Even if they can amass strength to do any revolt from faraway lands, might not necessarily have the same understanding to help the people, to guide the nation in general. And it goes vice versa as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do both. He has great power, Rav Koch, and he also has tefuna, a mispar, infinite amount of tefuna. We don't understand that understanding. Ramalbim again emphasizes this as well, that there's Hashkacha Pratis. Hashem has a very clear understanding of what's going on in the world, in contrast to, again, the other powers, the celestial bodies who don't have that same power. Rifersh understands this as a separate point in general. A general praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved, again, in the Nidchei Yisrael. And he explains, Gadol al-Dinin of Rav Koach, the word Gadol is similar to the pasuk we found in Ashrei, V'lugdiloso in Cheker, which again refers to, based off Rifersh's understanding, based off the Medrash, this is referring to the Chesed Hashem. The great Chesed of Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed in the world is found when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings out the Jewish nation from exile. And he explains that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about Bnei Yisrael, even though they are dispersed amongst the nations, is specifically L'sunoso e'mispar. Rifersh explains that the word tivuna and mispar are almost incongruous, because tivuna is more of a softer definition of calculation. Understanding doesn't have a specific number, and mispar is a very concrete, finite definition of entities. So Rifersh explains that David Malch is specifically saying that the tivuna e mispar, there's no Hashem's involvement and care for the people of his nation is not defined based off the numbers. It's not defined based off accomplishments or stature. It's defined off of something else, and that is based off the quality of the nation's moral worth. And through that, even when Bnei Yisrael are dispersed and not as strong in numbers and masses together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still cares for them because of their commitment and a development of their moral character to fulfill Ratzon Hashem, and that's going to be the source of them continuing on to survive the Golos and enter the Geula. The next pasuk then discusses Hashem's ability to get involved again and bring Bnei Yisrael out of the Golos. Me'odet anavim Hashem, Hashem uplifts the humble, mashpil shama the aris and casts the wicked down all the way to the ground. Again, the Radak understands this pasuk to be found in the context of the previous pasuk, focusing on those who are personally afflicted. He says, while HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great, God of the name of Rav Koch and mighty, nevertheless Hashem is focused and involves his attention on the lowly and weak to raise them up And that's very ostensive, very clearly going to be a reference to Bnei Yisrael, that Hashem, even though he's so great, cares about the downtrodden Bnei Yisrael. The person understands this not necessarily as a future revelation, but appraised currently in the midst of the Gaos, that the fact that Hashem upholds the humble, the Bnei Yisrael, who are Nidchei Yisrael in the exile, that itself is a source of Hashgachas Hashem, and that will in the future cause, that same Hashgacha will in the future cause the enemies of Bnei Yisrael to be lower down and destroyed. After praising Kosh Baruch Hu for his chesed and his involvement in Bnei Yisrael in the exile and ultimately the Geula, the Ofer HaMelech makes a final call, a call for praise. Enu Hashem Besoda, shout to Hashem, or call out to Hashem in thanksgiving, Zamar Lelokina Bechinor, sing to our God with a kinor. Again, the Radak understands this, that this praise is specifically supposed to be said when Bnei Yisrael enter the Geula, and they're going to be doing it both Bashir with Zemer. Bashir is with speech, with singing, and Zemer is with instruments. That's with Zamar Lokina Bechinor, with a specific instrument to show praise to Kosh Baruch Hu. And this is basically going to be the introduction for the next part of the section, next few sections of the parak, where the praise of Akash Baruch Hu for what he's done in the past, and bring them out into the Geula is going to be demonstrated. The Baal Peh understands that this praise, this call for praise, again reflects these two themes: En Lashem Besoda, Zamar Lokina Bechinor. The word Lashem refers to Hashem's control over nature, and that has to be done with Toda. And Zamru, a higher level of praise, is the Lokenu, with respect to our recognition of Hashem as the guide, the supernatural guide, and that's the praise that we're supposed to be giving, those two reflections of Hashgachas Hashem. Refersh explains that this call for praise is a culmination of his explanation of the previous Pesukim that we've been discussing, and he says that because Hashem is planning to help Bnei Yisrael attain and achieve their goal and mission, and achieve ultimate Geula, we have to recognize a debt of gratitude, the Toda, to thank Hashem for enabling us to exist and planning for the future for us to experience the Geula. And as we'll see, the next few sections are going to be expressions of that praise and almost like the justifications of why Bnei Yisrael are fitting to experience that Geula in the future. Moving on to the fourth section, David HaMelech discusses or shifts his focus on explaining and discussing nature, and then finally concludes in the section a charge for man to serve Hashem with yira, with fear and awe, and hope in Hashem's chesed. And again, following in the different interpretations that we've been discussing, each mefarish gives a different explanation of why we're now shifting to this emphasis of nature and the subsequent sections later on in their place. For the Radak, who explains that now we're praising Bnei Yisrael, are praising Akash Baruch Hu for bringing them to the Geula, the Radak explains that part of that praise is also just praising Hashem for His constant goodness in the world. Included in that is the expression of growth, which is expressed by rain. The natural world depends on rain for growth. And symbolically, rain and redemption, explains the Radak, are both things which are dependent on Akash Baruch Hu for it to become manifested in the world. And we're using this model of rain as a way to express that Kosh Baruch Hu is the one who enabled us to experience this Geula, the same way that enables the world to function and live because of the rain that he gives. The Baal Peh, on the other hand, who's understanding that this praise in general is to explain the two different functions of Hashem's Hashgacha in the world, this first section is discussing Hashem's involvement in nature, which is more of a Hashgacha Klalis. And that's why David HaMelech is explaining or expressing praise of Hashem, who runs nature, the first level of Hashgacha that Hashem has in the world. Refersh understands, following his interpretation, that this praise is an explanation of praising Hashem for the Jews who are in the midst of the exile, for being able to go and become redeemed and have them develop to reach that point of redemption. And he explains that in the next few pesukim, we're going to be talking about how Hashem sustains the rest of the world. And there's a stark contrast between the rest of the world's sustenance and man's sustenance. The rest of the world simply can just function by Hashem's chesed, Hashem giving every animal what it needs. However, man, who has the koach ha-bechira, the ability to choose and decide how to live his life, the position of power to control the world, Hashem puts man in a place where it's not given to him, and he has to master his world to become sustained. And with that ability, with that responsibility also comes the ability to fully recognize and subordinate his own will, his own bechira, to fulfill Ratzon Hashem. And this focus is exactly what is the merit of the Jewish people to survive through the Galus into the Gula, because they're going to be the ones who are going to commit to serve and fulfill Ratzon Hashem and develop their moral character, which enables them to truly merit to achieve that Geula. So going through the Pesukim in detail with that introduction of the section, David Melech writes, "Hamechas Hashemayim ba'avim, Hashem covers clouds, heavens with clouds. Hamechin la'aretz matar, prepares the rain for earth. Hamatzmiach harim chatzir, and makes the mountains sprout growth." Again, this is a development of the rain patterns. Pasuk further on continues, "Nosun la'vehim alachma." Hashem gives; He's the one who gives the animal its food. "Livnei rei v'ashei crow," for the young ravens who call out. The Radak notes, in light of his, in the context of his explanation about praising Hashem for guiding the world, in the natural world, he explains that the Bnei Arev are karu in a unique fashion. The Medrash quotes that these Bnei Arev, when they're newly born as fledglings, they don't have any support. And the Medrash explains that when the raven's born, the mother leaves, not even being able to recognize his own child. Only Hashem takes care of that bird to give it food. And the same way that Hashem protects the Bnei Arev, Hashem's also the one who protects Bnei Yisrael in the midst of the Galus, enabling them to get to the Geula. The Malama has different interpretation of what the Bnei Arev are calling, and he connects it to the next pasuk, which says, "Lo b'gvuras asosech patz," the might of the horse Hashem does not desire, "v'lo b'shokei isher," Hashem does not desire the thighs of man, "but rotzeh Hashem asiriyav," Hashem favors or wants those who fear him, "eshamayachalim l'chasto," those who await his kindness. Malbim explains that the Bnei Arev are the ones who are calling out that Hashem does not want the thighs of man or the koch of susim. He wants people to depend on Hashem's chesed for support. The Bnei Arev, as mentioned by the Medrash, don't seek food. Hashem gives it to them to attain livelihood. He doesn't want... There are people who go out to fight wars to get supported. That's b'gras asus. There are people who go out to travel far. That's shokeish. They walk very far to get supported. But Hashem ultimately wants... Hashem's and part of that hashkacha klalis is that Hashem supports every individual. And that's the people... Hashem wants those people to focus on, like the Bnei Arev, to be focused on miyachalim achasto, to focus on Hashem's chesed without traveling far fighting wars. And following on the Radak's interpretation that this entire praise is expressing Hashem's ability, soul ability, to contribute to the Geula process. Again, Hashem does not want strength. Hashem does not want of horses. Hashem does not want people to fight. Hashem will bring the Geula, and he's the only one who's able to facilitate that ability. In light of the explanation of Rav Hirsch is explaining that the call of man, and specifically the Jewish people, their justification to live through the exile and retain Geula is because they're the people who are committed to b'milachalim chasto, hope in Hashem, and are loyal to be Yireyev, to be those who fear Him, to fear Hashem. And b'schus that, that's the praise. That's the ability that Bnei Yisrael have to live through the Geula, and that's what the Bnei Yisrael are praising. Their unique role in this world is the exact reason for their existence throughout the Galus into the Geula. After discussing nature and its connection to the Geula experience, David Melech shifts that now to talk about Yerushalayim and recognizing Hashem's oversight over that city. And again, following in the interpretations of the Radak, Malbim, and Rav Hirsch, they each explain the focus of this section in different ways. The Radak, again, is understanding that this praise is about the Geula. When the Bnei Yisrael have reached the point of Geula, they're going to be giving praise. So the praise is about Yerushalayim and Hashem's protection and development of the city during the times of Geula. The Malbim understands that we're now transitioning from the Enu L'Hashem Besoda, transitioning to discussing Hashem's praise of the natural world, which is really a universal praise by all of mankind. We're now transitioning to talk about the unique praise of Bnei Yisrael, about Hashem's Hashkacha, going forward. And the Malbim explains that they're really, within this category of Bnei Yisrael's praise, there's two different aspects of that praise. One is a general praise of Hashem being more involved in the life of the Jewish people. That's for the Hamonam. But there's an even more deeper or more nuanced understanding of that Hashkacha, which is specifically for the people of Tzion, which is a more of an overt supernatural experience of Hashem's involvement in the world, and that those two experiences of praise are going to be expressed in the next in this section. Rav Hirsch understands, however, that this, even though we're talking about Yerushalayim, it actually fits in very well with the previous section, as the previous section was explaining that Bnei Yisrael's chus to get through the galus into the geula is because they're developing their moral character, fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. Yerushalayim is the place where that goal will be ultimately manifested. And Hashem is maintaining the place of Yerushalayim for the future, for that manifestation to come fully into fruition. Going to the Psukim, Davar Malach writes, Shabachi Yerushalayim es Hashem, Yerushalayim, praise Hashem, Ha'ali Elokayach Tzion, Tzion, you should be Mahalel, praise Hashem, your God. And for the Malbim, he understands that these two clauses referring to the two different experiences of Hashkacha within Bnei Yisrael. One is a general Hashkacha represented with Shem Hashem, which is more of a natural experience, but a higher level than the previous section. That's for the Bnei Yerushalayim, that's for the regular Bnei Yisrael. And there's a much higher experience of a Lekayich, more of a direct, overt, supernatural interaction with Hashem. And that's with the Bnei Tzion, the people who are more spiritually in tuned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the leaders and the teachers of Bnei Yisrael. Davar HaMelech then continues, Kichi Zak Berchei Sharayach Berach Benach Bekirbech. Hashem has strengthened the bars of your gate, and He has blessed your children in your midst. Hasam Gvulech Shalom Chelev Chitim Esbeich. Hashem makes peace in your borders and satisfies you with choice wheat. So again, for the Radak, these phrases are just expressions of different things that Bnei Yisrael will experience in the times of the Gula. And he divides it really into two different aspects. Number one is what is just protection. Hashem is going to protect the city, and there won't be enemies anymore there. And also, there'll be a lot of produce, both as children, both in monetary success. And that's expressed as well in the next pasuk of Hashem. Hashem protects with shalom, and also Hashem enables choice chitim, a lot of economic growth, parallel to the previous pasuk. The Balaam similarly understands that we're talking about protection from enemies as well as economic success, but he emphasizes this in contrast to the previous section, that while the people in general look out for food, they go out, they travel like shokeish, or they use horses to go and fight wars to get economic success with the Geras Asus. In times of this experience of Gula with Yerushalayim built, there will be no need for this because of this heightened level of Hashkacha, of shalom, as well as chilev chitim esbeich, with a lot of food and produce and economic success. They don't have to travel far because of this high level of Ashkacha. The first understands that this is not a reflection of the current situation, a praise of the current geula, but rather a hope. Again, like his theme beforehand, we're talking about the Jews of exile. They're hoping for this experience of Yerushalayim. He explains that Hashem built Yerushalayim, hasn't been established upon man's strength, and therefore it's planned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's going to exist in the future when the ultimate Geula comes to enable the Rosh Hashanah to be more fully manifested. And that's the emphasis of what he explains at Tzion. Tzion is a monument for a future development of man. And through that, Hashem is going to, in the future, some Gevulech Shalom, Chelev Chitim Esbech, Hashem will, in the future, develop Yerushalayim to have peace in its land and produce and success. All this is to enable and facilitate the moral character of not just the Jewish people, but also of the entire world in general. After discussing Yerushalayim, Davar HaMelech shifts to the sixth section, where he describes Hashem's ability to command nature in various forms. And like the previous sections, the three Mefarshim, the Radak, Malbim, and Rav Hirsch, each take a different approach of how to interpret this section. The Radak understands this section as a further praise of Hashem, aside from being Meshabech Hashem for the Geula and for Yerushalayim, there's also just a general praise, a charge to praise Hashem over nature, specifically events that are commonly experienced. The Radak emphasizes that we have an obligation to praise Hashem for these moments as well. He notes that this is included in the praise of Enu Hashem Besoda Zamer Lelokeinu, that we have to mention Gevuros Hashem, the mighty acts of Hashem, specifically through rain, which is a source of growth. And he adds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also determines when a person or a nation is deserving of rain, so that's also included not only in the fact that there's a Hashkacha of Hashem creating rain in general, but also the mechanism in which rain comes down to Scharva Onesh. The Malbim's take on this under this interpretation, as we'll develop, is has to do with the fact that Akash Baruch Hu can in many ways express Minas HaDin, but sometimes if we're deserving, he will change that din to Rachamim, given our ability to fulfill Dvar Hashem, and we'll see how this develops, and it's connected to Hashgachas Hashem as well, as we'll develop later on. Rav Hirsch takes a third approach in understanding this section, and he explains that while the previous section compared Hashem's interactions with man and animal, over here, this section emphasizes nature to be a model in how man should fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. Man has a responsibility, as Rav Hirsch explains, as a co-partner in his own destiny with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore is responsible to live up to certain standards to deserve that Hashgachas Hashem, in contrast to the natural world, which just fulfills and submits itself naturally to the Ratzon Hashem, and that's a way of expressing its subservience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in many ways, David is describing the natural course of things to facilitate, to show that man also should be like nature and follow Dvar Hashem, while nature has to follow the rules of law. We have to follow the Torah, the rules, the divine laws. And he emphasizes specifically water, because water is an entity which has many different phases, ice, liquid, gas, and it changes according to the circumstances. And so too, man too has to change, be able to be readily flexible to change according to the needs that Hashem wants him to do, but also resilient like ice, to be solid in his fulfillment of the Ratzon Hashem. So with this background, we can develop and delve in to this sixth section. David HaMelech explains, HaShalech Imrosa Aretz Ameher Yurtz Tavar. Hashem sends his speech to the earth quickly, and his word rushes. The Radak understands this to mean the command for it to rain, and it comes down the arts to the land. However, the Malbim understands this to mean HaShalech Imrosa Aretz, Hashem has a gzira rot to come onto the earth. So immediately, it will be stopped. Ad mehera yurutz tivaro, the dvar Hashem will be the dvar. Another dvar, another statement, a decree of Hashem will come and uproot that gzira ra, as will be expressed in the future psukim. And Rav Hirsch explains Hashalech Imrosa Aretz, Hashem sends his amira, his command, down to the earth to be fulfilled. And Ad mehera yurutz tivaro, until his word swiftly goes to its place. The next pasuk then says, "Hanosin shalak atzamer kifor keifer yifazer," who gives snow like wool and frost like ashes, he scatters. It's again Hashem's involvement in creating the status of ice. The Malbim understands this as an expression of, like, the midas hadin, which is yakfi, which freezes the midas hachesed. Mashal karko chavidim, he cast down his ice like morsels, like pieces of bread. A crumb. So, thank Karasa Miyama, before his cold, who can endure? Again, for the Malbim, this refers to the Minas HaDin, but simply, it's as the Radak explains, this is just a reference to the fact that it's extremely cold. Yishlach Devarav Yavisei, Miyashi Ruchel, Yizulmaim, he sends forth his word and melts them, the ice. He causes his wind to blow and the water flows. The shot for the Radak is that this ice gets warmed, melted by the sun, and then the wind blows and takes away that ice and enables the water to flow. And for the Malbim, this is like a metaphor, the fact that he sends his Dvar, the Dvar shall midas hachesed, his rachamim, to bimavat al-gzera, and it'll melt that gzera ra. David HaMelech now concludes his parak with the seventh section, where he mentions that unlike all the other nations, Bnei Yisrael have unique commandments that were given to Hashem. And Ish Mefarish, as we will discuss, understand this section again in light of their previous comments they made on the previous sections. The Pesukim say, Magi Devar of Yaakov, he declares his word to Yaakov, Chukav Mishpat of Yisrael, his statutes and ordinances to Yisrael. Lo'asachein l'chol goy, he did not do this to every nation, Mishpatim ba'idum, and he did not make known his ordinances to them. Ha'aluka, they will praise Hashem. Following, as we mentioned, the previous comments of the different Mefarshim, each Mefarsh has a different interpretation of this section about Hashem teaching the mitzvahs only to Bnei Yisrael. For the Radak, the praise. This is part of the praise that the Bnei Yisrael are making at the time of the Gula. They're praising not the natural occurrences, and but more specifically the experience of Ma'amid Har Sinai. And he explains, when we're discussing the Gevuros HaKel, the greatness of Hashem and the strength of Hashem, we're mentioning the experiences of Ma'amid Har Sinai, which was a great experience. So Magid Rav Yaakov, at the time of Ma'amid Har Sinai, Hashem told Bnei Yisrael the Chukim and Mishpatim, and he didn't do that. He didn't experience that, create that experience for all the other nations. And more than so, he taught Bnei Yisrael about the actual knowledge of the mitzvos and the chachma of the mitzvos to them. So this is part of the praise that Bnei Yisrael expressing, ending off with a unique experience that Bnei Yisrael have in contrast to the other nations, and that's part of the praise that they're saying at the time of the Geula. The Malbim understands this section as the conclusion of the previous section. The way that the Midas HaChesed can Midas HaRachim can overcome the Midas HaDin, as modeled after the melting of ice, is precisely because Bnei Yisrael specifically, and only they, have the Dvar Hashem. They were informed by the Nevi'im of the Gzerah of Magid Devar of Yaakov. It's been told by the Navi of the Devar, which is of the Gzerah to Yaakov, to the Bnei Yisrael. And more than that, Yisrael are told the Chukim and Mishpatim. They're told how to fix that. The Gedolim are told how to fix it through the Torah, and they educate the people to change that action. And the Bible ends. This is specific to Bnei Yisrael, and this fits in very nicely to his theme previously about the Haydn Hashkacha that Bnei Yisrael have in contrast to the other nations. The other nations of the world, they don't have this experience, this Torah, which allows them to change their ways and affect a spiritual change. So their experience is only limited to what the celestial bodies, what the natural order of the world has. However, Bnei Yisrael are informed, the Chukim, the Mishpatim, they're told things that Hashem wants them to do on a spiritual plane, on even a sichlius, on a more natural law plane. And Bnei Yisrael live with that experience, by fulfilling the Torah, and that enables change, and that also enables a greater, heightened level of Hashkacha, reciprocal to their interactions with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by following his Torah. And Rav Hirsch understands this as the conclusion of the entire parak, as we've been discussing in the previous section, that the goal of man is to fulfill his duty of fulfilling Dvar Hashem, and this is unique to Bnei Yisrael, who are Yaakov, who are in this lowly state, in the exile. Magid Dvar of Yaakov, Hashem taught the Bnei Yisrael, even amongst the exile, that they have to follow the Torah, and Chukav Mishpat of Yisrael, and this elevates them to the status of Yisrael, being emissaries of the Malchus Hashem, even amidst the Galus. And this is exactly why they should be. They have the right and they have the justification to be living through the Galus and entering and expecting the Gula, because laws of Hashem didn't teach these laws to the non-Jew, to the Gentiles. He gave it to the Bnei Yisrael to be the emissaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to ultimately be the people who will educate the entire world with the Gula and the building of the Beis Hamikdash with Yerushalayim HaBenuya. Rav Hirsch makes a point that while the non-Gentile nations do have laws, they don't have the same types of laws as Bnei Yisrael. Number one, they don't have chukim, these like spiritual laws that the Torah guides. But even the mishpatim, the things that are almost rational forms of mitzvahs which enable the society to function, the non-Jews don't know that it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't have that connection. Bnei Yisrael realize that there's this eternal system from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how to function, how to live. And that's what's going to be, and that's what's unique about that nation of Bnei Yisrael, and that's what's going to be the justification for them to continue to exist throughout the exile by fulfilling their mission and ending it with Geula. So just to conclude and summarize the entire section, David HaMelech begins the parak with an introduction about how it's appropriate to praise Hashem, either referring to the future when there's a Geula, or we're experiencing praise of Hashem's Hashkacha, both in the natural and supernatural interactions Hashem has with us, or alternatively the praise that we realize that Hashem is guiding us throughout history, even amidst the Galus, to get to the Geula. David in the second section, then describes that Hashem is planning to build the Yerushalayim and bring Bnei Yisrael back to the homeland, to Eretz Yisrael. Again, this is either a praise of the future, of the Geula, that Hashem rebuilt the Bnei Yisrael, brought them back to the Holy Land with the Beis HaMikdash.
or it's an expectation of Hashem's direct involvement in the Bnei Yisrael's course, which is a high level of, course of history, which is a high level of Hashkacha. Alternatively, as the Fresh explains, this is a hope that Hashem is laying the path, guiding Bnei Yisrael to get to the point that Yerushalayim will be built and Bnei Yisrael will be back in their land. The third section then transitions to discussing Hashem's kindness to the Nidchei Yisrael, then a call for the world and the Bnei Yisrael in general to praise Hashem for what has been done. And we recycle the name of Rav Koach. Hashem is not only powerful and has tuna, but also Hashem, as the first explains, has great chesed. He supports Bnei Yisrael even amidst the galus. He took, in the future, he will take us out of the galus into the geula, and by also simultaneously being mashal Hashem al ha'aretz. And in response to that, we are charged of edula Hashem besoda zamal kina bechinar, to praise Hashem for the geula of the two different experiences of Ashkacha, of the Shem Hashem and Shem Elokeinu, which is Teva and Nes, as well as to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show the debt of gratitude that we have with Him for enabling us to continue throughout the Galus, and we're also recognizing in this praise the justification that we have because we're fulfilling the Torah and being the harbingers of that Gula experience later on. In the fourth section, David HaMelech then observes nature and describes it, how it should relate to man. He describes that Hashem created the rain, Machas Hashemayim Be'ovem, Mamachil Arz Matar, causes it to rain and flows into the mountains. He gives food to the animals, to the Bnei Arev, even when they don't have anyone else to help them. And from that, David HaMelech then describes man's responsibility is Lo B'Gvaras Asus Echbatz V'lo Shokei Yishir Tzeh Rezeh Hashem Esirav Esam Echelim L'chasto. As Hashem protects the animals, the entire world, by supporting them, a person should not expect anything extra. It should not go out of his way more than he has to, because he should have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alternatively, the Hashem gives a free food without them, without animals trying or conceiving how to get their food every single day. But man has the Koach HaBechira, and therefore Hashem gives him the responsibility to have to dominate the world, to survive. And through that power, also man has the responsibility to submit that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an expression of Yira. And alternatively, in this entire section, as Radak explains, this entire conversation about rain and growth is attributable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to the Geula, when Bnei Yisrael are praising the Enu Hashem Besoda, they're basically attributing all that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the fifth section, then, after talking about Hashem's involvement to redeem Bnei Yisrael and the charge that he has for Bnei Yisrael to recognize the Hashkacha and the duty that man has to get him to get to this point of Geula, David shifts to discuss for a little bit for the next week's Pesukim about Yerushalayim. Shavchi Yerushalayim is Hashem, Halehil Kayach Tzion. Yerushalayim should be rejoicing, either because actually now it's rebuilt, or it's an expression of Hashem's Hashkacha in the world, both in its protection of the people and the economic sustenance that is going to be given in the future. But even in this time of exile, Yerushalayim should be rejoicing because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it, Hashem has always protected it, and He's going to, in the future, develop it, because the entire point of this entire history of the Galus of Bnei Yisrael to the Geula is to ultimately allow the world to experience and be educated about Ratzon Hashem through the Torah in the place of Yerushalayim, in the place of Tzion. And therefore, it's going to become a place of shalom, and there'll be a lot of success out of that Geula experience. After that, after discussing Yerushalayim, we transition back to talk about the natural world. And this understanding, this is the sixth section of the parak, where David HaMelech is either emphasizing the added hashkacha of Bnei Yisrael in their ability to change the natural course of things, as the Malbim explains, or it's just a general praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for controlling nature, as we just like adding on praises for after the Geula. Or as the Rifersh explains, this is a model for us in how to serve Hashem. And we mentioned Hashem sends down his Amira to the world, either that's referring to rain or it's a specific Zerara, and the ice is formed, ice then melts, that the world functions with this moving back and forth according to the laws of nature, and we too, as Rifersh explains, have a duty to follow the Ratzon Hashem the same way that the world functions with its laws of nature, which are also an expression of the Ratzon Hashem. Finally, concluding the Perek, David HaMelech transitions to talk about the unique responsibility of Bnei Yisrael, that Hashem mazmagid derav Yaakov chukov mishpatav Yisrael. Either this is an additional praise about the Geula, as we make reference to the fact that Hashem had a unique experience with Bnei Yisrael in that he gave us Matan Torah and taught us the Torah, or as the Malbim explains, because now we have the Torah, we are now able to have a high level of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now able to even interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change the natural course of things, of Magid Rav Yaakov, which is unique to Bnei Yisrael, Allah Sechein L'Chogai, not to every other nation, they don't have that same experience or interaction. But alternatively, as Rav Hirsch explains, the entire justification for Bnei Yisrael to experience the Geula and survive through the Galus is because they're following the Torah. And this has been, and this is exactly the unique point about Bnei Yisrael, the Magid Rav Yaakov, and Lo Asachin L'Chogai, which B'tim Ba'al Yadom, the nations don't have that unique relationship with the divine law, although they have their own laws, they don't have that divine relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the source of Bnei Yisrael's survival, and that's what's going to be allowing them to, in the future, experience the Geula with the new building of the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. This parak fits in very nicely with the flow of the entire Pesukei Zimra, specifically since Ashrei, after Ashrei we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha in the world, we then transition to Hashkacha, Hashem's Hashkacha over individuals, and both we transition not only from Hashem's Hashkacha for the people who are downtrodden to then the Geula, as the Radak explains, we're transitioning from Hashem's Hashkacha over individuals to Hashkacha over the Klal Yisrael in general, so we're expanding our sphere of Hashem's involvement in the world, not just in the individual Jew, but to the nation at large.